Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Hannah, are you muted? It sounds like dead air to me, but I will say hello. This is Steven 76. And you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio.
Sorry, I'm muted.
Being heard. There you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, it was me the whole damn time. Sitting there talking. Shoot. Okay. All right, you stumbled into the man cave. So I apparently didn't hear anything I said. Into the man cave. Nope. Means it's the last Friday of the month. Steven 76 and myself sort of hide out in our man cave, talk about things that we don't understand. Thanks for having my back there, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, get that. Yeah, let me get to the thing. Okay, on this day, let's see, the June 24th is our day of our Lord 2022. I learned this was the day Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse slaughtered Colonel General Custer near the river Bighorn. That's not a good thing.
There you go.
Didn't end up well. And in 1374, check this out, 1374, in a German town of Aix-la-Chapelle, people began jumping, twirling, twitching, and hallucinating, all seemingly out of control, to stop in some dance until they dropped. The so-called dancing plague will spread to other cities and later be blamed on mass hysteria or bacterial infections. Can you believe that?
That's weird.
Well, they do say that the witch hunts were caused the mass hysteria was caused from moldy grain, which was which is a psilocybin type of spore that causes people to hallucinate, point fingers at each other, call it a witch. And then even though I was raised Christian, there is the theory that the incense that they go around, and they only do it on holidays, Easter, Christmas, Mass anymore. The old school Masses where they introduced the scents. Now, they say back in the day they were spreading psilocybin through as they walked through the crowd to have everybody have the same type of hallucination. You know, it's a theory. Mm-hmm. I don't buy it, but a lot of the history could be blamed on bad wheat or grains.
Wouldn't that be something?
Well, you know, it does give, yeah, I know, it does give some reason why. But, you know, there's a reason why there's no miracles anymore either. You can explain that to me. Back in the day, miracles happened, witnessed by many. Was it mass hysteria or something else?
Well, we just been giving up on.
Yeah. Now, in 1947, the pilot Kenneth Arnold sees what he says is 9 shiny objects flying in a 5-mile formation in a clear afternoon sky above Washington State. He later calculates their speed at 1,200 miles per hour, describing them as saucer-shaped, and a journalist reported on the first major UFO sighting of modern times. They picked the flying saucer, 1947, Washington State. Now, from that point on, any pilot that reported UFOs was grounded. Some lost their jobs. So a lot of the pilots didn't mention, yeah. I mean, what a bitch to report what you see. Now, these guys are trained observers, just like the police department, fire department.
Yeah. Well, you make me think of the part from Close Encounters of the Third Kind when they were doing the air traffic controller, and he asked them, "Do you want to report a UFO?" And they're like, "No, I don't want to do that."
Yeah, not me. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of them that had mentioned it was debriefed by the Defense Department. Probably was not fun.
Yeah.
In Russia, they did the opposite. They encouraged people to report sightings, and they're thinking that anything weird was coming from the United States, and we better know about it. So there's a little paranoia out there. So.
Yeah.
And in 2000, I just saw this, in 2010, the longest tennis match ever, 11 hours, 5 minutes, played over 3 days. John Isner defeats Frenchman Nicolas Mahut in the first round singles match at Wimbledon. 11 hours, 5 minutes. My God. What were they doing?
They weren't letting anything get by them, that's for sure.
That's a rally. That's what they call a rally, man.
What do the final score was?
Oh, that's a good one. It's a good one. I would look it up, but I'm afraid to lose my browser here.
I'll see if I can find it.
You got an idle browser? Look up John Isner, Isner. Or the longest tennis match ever. That should tell you.
Yeah.
Is that Wimbledon? No, first round of Wimbledon on clay.
Wow. Yeah, I'm clicking on it right now. Let's see what it say.
Oh, wow. 183 games with the professional, the longest tennis match professional history. Exceeded the time and number of games, 183. God. So I suppose there are many love. I don't feel the love there, huh?
Yeah. Isner eventually won.
Isner.
70-68.
Oh, man. God, you know, you'd have to sit and watch that thing. People, after 8 hours, are probably going, Jesus, win. So we win.
Yeah. Would you? I'm not a big fan of tennis, so I'd have turned it off a long time ago.
Yeah, I happened to see here in Sacramento, one of the ritzy tennis clubs, we got tickets to go see, it was Chris Everett on the women's team, and Bjorn Borg, and who was the guy that played, you wouldn't know. You don't like tennis. Anyway, some celebrities, big tennis stars from the past were there. Man, that Bjorn Borg, he's a huge dude. 120 mile an hour freaking serve. I mean, the hair's got to be burn the hair off the ball.
The only tennis person I really know anything about would be McEnroe because, you know, he cracked me up.
Yeah, McEnroe was it, yeah. He married Ryan O'Neill's daughter, Tatum. Imagine fighting. Welcome to
Tatum O'Neill from Bad News Bears?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, from Bad News Bears. Yeah, John McEnroe.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Can you imagine Neil going, hey, welcome to the family, brat. You know, to the English, to the Wimbledon, he was an embarrassment. You don't argue with the officials like he did. But, you know, a good half of the time, he was right.
Yeah.
Okay. In 2011, our Marriage Equality Act was passed. made it legal to marry your trash can or your dog or anybody else.
There you go.
Yeah. Open Pandora's box. Got to be careful about that. Now, look up to history of this day. June overview, the national days. Check this out. Today is national. Oh, come on. That's not the day I saved. I saved this so it would go right to the day I wanted, and I think it would do that. Oh, no. Okay. On 24th, today was National Pralines Day. That's like a date, isn't it?
I think so.
Praline? Yeah.
I believe it's some sort of nut or something, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's just like a date, just a fancy name for it.
Yeah.
Also, we have
Robin's when they think of an ice cream.
Wait, what?
I think it's Baskin Robbins. It's one of their flavors of ice cream, I believe. Praline.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's probably not a date. It's also Take Back Lunch Break Day and Take Your Dog to Work Day. Now, how many people knew that? Showed up with their dog.
I didn't see any dogs at
dog
work fight. Today. So.
Yeah, got a dog fight in aisle two.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I always mention what day it was today, and it's basically over. So tomorrow, June 25th, is National Catfish Day. There you go.
Oh.
And National Leon Day. What does that mean, Leon? What's a Leon?
Well, in the show Curb Your Enthusiasm, he's Larry David's roommate.
All I know is Leon let it go down that Dallas Cowboy defensive end. Leon let it go. He had to try to pick it up. Lost the game for the Dallas Cowboys, the playoff.
Yeah.
I remember him. It reminds me of Jim Marshall. Jim Marshall had a stellar career as a defensive end, a tackle for the Minnesota Vikings, one of the Purple People Eaters. But he's only known for one thing. Recovering a fumble in the 49ers backfield and running to the wrong end zone.
Yeah.
Leon Lett follows that. Leon Lett had two mistakes. One is he's headed for the end zone, stops his run and just starts like he's going to jog in, and BB for the Buffalo runs up behind him, and at the 1 yard line bounces the ball out of his hands. So Leon let it go, because if he didn't touch it, Dallas wins.
Yeah.
And Strawberry Parfait Day tomorrow, and it's also Summer's Giving. Yeah, it's the Saturday after the summer solstice. The Saturday.
The summer's good. Are we supposed to cook a turkey or something?
I don't know. Let me punch on it and see what it is. Summer's Giving. Yeah, they like it's like this Juneteenth thing. I don't know. Man.
Juneteenth
is now a national holiday.
Yeah, I didn't know that until the day after, actually. I mean, I knew of it, but I didn't realize that, like, the post offices and the banks and everything were going to be closed. I had no idea.
Yeah. Supposedly, it is the day Texas freed its slaves, and that was Independence Day to them. So July 4th.
That was the day the last of the slaves were freed. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I have to petition my work and say that it needs to be a paid holiday.
Hey, there you go. National, it should be, if it's national, right? Okay, the Summer's Giving. Saturday after the summer solstice. Gather your friends and family to celebrate Summer's Giving. Explanation point. This day is designed to combine all the fun of summer with America's favorite Thanksgiving food. It's a celebration of life rooted in gratitude to be shared with the friends and food to make life fun. Summer's giving. Everyone has a favorite holiday food and tradition. Yeah, and summer's giving provides the opportunity to bring them all together under the sun and stars for one big celebration. Make a feast and share the dishes that mean celebration with a border crowd of friends and family. Let the joy and fun memories grow year after year.
Okay.
That says how to observe, how to properly observe summer's giving. Grab the turkey. What Thanksgiving dinner would be complete without one. And serve it with all your favorite holiday foods and eat them in celebration of the day. Or reinvent the holiday classics and share your summer's giving favorites on social media. Oh man. This is bogus, man. This is bogus.
You know, I really like turkey, but I'm not gonna heat my place up trying to cook a turkey in the oven on a 100-degree day.
Well, they're mentioned in the dentist. Around the year 2009, Robert Solomon created a Thanksgiving barbecue with his best friends to celebrate summer and all the foods he thought we could only have at Thanksgiving. He loved turkey, so you barbecue it.
Yeah, or you deep fry it. If you're going to do that outside, that's what I would probably do is deep fry it.
Yeah.
Just don't do it with a frozen turkey and make it a turkey cannon.
The strong history of summer's giving started in 2019. So, a lot of tradition.
Relatively new, yes. It's a baby.
Relatively new. Oh, yeah, we should make one up ourselves. We all. I think we need to. Well, we're all born in July, right? We're all cancers. And nobody, when somebody says, what's your sign? Nobody yells out cancer. Right?
Right. No, I usually cough a few times.
Yeah. Or call us a moon child. I'll punch you, moon child. Nice try. Didn't make me feel any better. How about you?
No. No.
So are you the 22nd? Or is that K?
That's K. I'm coming up pretty quick, actually, on the 6th.
And I'm the 19th. I share the cusp with the wind.
Yes.
The wind.
In the cusp.
Now, has baseball started up big time your way? Are they televising any games? I saw one game televised out here in the last month.
I don't know. I've seen some games. Yeah, the Guardians are actually doing pretty well. So, yeah.
How's everybody doing calling them the Guardians?
I don't know. I haven't really heard anybody really talk about them except for on television.
You know, isn't the Indians sort of a bogus label anyway? Because they thought they were in the West Indies. That's why they were called the Indians.
Yeah.
They were wrong. So why is the Indian name be a racist? I don't see it.
I don't even know. But I guess it doesn't matter anymore because it's all been said and done. But, yeah, right now the Guardians are in a tie for first place with the Twins with a record of 36 wins and 30 losses.
Minnesota? They haven't been in the lead since Harmon Killebrew. Or maybe they have.
If the year they stop being called the Indians, it's the year they finally win the World Series again. That would be something.
How much money does it take to change your logo on a team? That must be millions. And what about the memorabilia and the old shirts and the jerseys? I mean, Joe Ferguson, or the old quarterback for the Washington, can't say it, said Redskins. Is he going to be known as a, what do they call the Washington what? They picked a name, didn't they?
What was it?
It's not, they didn't go senators or something. Anyway, I read the thing on Atlanta. Atlanta's sticking to their guns.
I read that the Commanders are going to be the Washington Commanders. The Braves actually have some sort of contract with the local Indian tribe or local Native American tribe. Then and the tribe allows them to keep the name because the Braves do a lot of things charity wise for them. So. I don't believe that the Cleveland Indians didn't do anything as well, but I don't know. To me, it just seems, I told Kay, it seems to me that, you know, back in the 80s and the 70s when the Indians sucked, nobody was saying anything. Then all of a sudden in the 90s, they started doing well. They started to be in the playoffs. They started making the World Series. All of a sudden, they're all up in arms about the name. So it's just, it's all a popularity thing.
You know how that started? Every little league, high school, Pony League, Triple A team, they all were forced to change their name or be sued. And every school district or governing body didn't want or could afford to be to a lawsuit. So they changed. Once that was done, there was a foothold and precedence, and they just bullied them to change. I mean, you could take any name. What about the Giants? Oh, my God, you're talking about these poor people that are just overly sized and the struggle they go through in life. You're teasing them by calling them Giants. People
yeah, yeah.
Like, I think I'm offended.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I'm offended, definitely.
back to my question. Riggins and the old Washington Redskins. Now, are they going to be called Redskins? Can you still call them Redskins? Because that was what the team name, or do you have to change that too? And how much money does it cost to change your logos?
Oh, it's got to cost a ton.
God, on and on and on. I was hoping Washington would keep the name, the team out of Washington D.C. or whatever it was. Sort of refusing to pick a name, they're just going to go with the generic. Yeah, we're a team. That's it. It could have been the Washington TT Fly.
It says here that the cost for the Redskins could cost up to $20 million to change it all over.
I think that's a low ball thing. What happens with the price of old memorabilia to make it more or less?
Oh, I'm sure it probably boosts up. I mean, this Indians blanket that I'm looking at that Kay got me for Christmas, I'm sure that's going to be worth a little more. My Chief Wahoo hat that's hanging on the door, I'm sure that's going to be worth a little something, too.
And if you were to have an old Washington Redskins football player on your show, he's been retired for 2 decades, can you introduce him as a Washington Redskin, or do you have to say, so was a Commander?
Yeah, that's a good question.
So
I was even talking to Kim, you know, sometimes they do throwback days at the stadium. What are the Guardians going to wear on throwback day?
Oh, there you go. And what about the emblem, the logo on their helmets?
Right, yeah.
Jeez.
I think it's cheesy.
So have they asked the players? I bet the players are scared to death to make an opinion one way or the other.
Probably.
But I'm glad Atlanta. one thing about the Braves is the karate chop thing. They thing they yell.
Yeah.
That's what they were most upset about. I read. How are you going to stop that? Yeah. You're not going to stop that. Those fans are going to do what they want.
Yeah, that's a crowd thing.
Yeah, it is.
I'm sure all over Progressive Field, I'm sure that there's pictures of Wahoo that fans are holding up and Indian stuff, but the cameramen are told not to, you know, not to point the camera that way.
Yeah. Oh, and old school, like you said, the throwback, anybody wearing the old jerseys going to have that logo on, shame on them. God.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. So no Indian was ever offended by using those names. In fact, they were proud to be named as a brave warrior. They did the same thing in the military, trying to get the Longbow Apache and the Apache helicopter changed. And they, when they went to the Indian tribes and say, are you offended? They want to change it. They go, no, we're proud that you would give our name to such a powerful guardian of our land. So,
yeah.
So who are these people filing suits, and what judges are allowing it? Back in the day, judges said, oh, throw it out. Have some balls. God.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing, too. This is the fact that I told Kay that the Guardians owner has no backbone. The Braves owner does.
Who was the old owner of the Washington Redskins? Because Joe Riggs, the NASCAR owner, he used to be the owner. Or no, was he the coach or the owner?
I don't know.
Yeah, but the family that owned the Washington Redskins for years or decades, that had passed, because I think they would have fought it to the end.
Yeah.
We got no balls out here, the West Coast. You got to call the California. You got to call the California Angels, the California Angels out of Anaheim, California. You got to say that whole damn thing. Because Anaheim was upset that it was a California Angels. Well, the rest of the state don't do nothing. Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, when I was a kid, it was always the California Angels. I don't know. It was, and I knew they played in Anaheim, yeah. And it didn't.
Everybody knew. Yeah, everybody knew they played where Walt Disney was, you know, Disneyland. You know, I'm wondering if when the Dodgers and Giants moved from New York out here, the Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giants moved out here to the West Coast, if that was such a scandalous thing. I think it was. I think it was upset a lot of people back in 1960, I think it was.
Yeah, I guarantee it did, because I went through it. So when they moved when they moved the Browns to Baltimore. The Ravens were the Browns.
Yeah, that's how Cincinnati Bengals was born, was that feud between Larry Brown and Coach Brown and some other coach. They had a falling out, so he moved the team down the street to Cincinnati, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, different things. I mean, You got to be able to stand up for tradition, or it's just another way of tearing us down. Yeah, I wish they would pay more attention to these salaries. Who needs a $500 million?
Right.
For 14 years. I'm sorry, Mahone. I'm not trying to pick on you, but you ain't worth that. I'm sorry. And like I said, I looked up his contract. He's got a lot of incentives. I mean, if he doesn't produce, he doesn't get paid that. So he's got his work ahead of him. Plus, he's going to be a target. He put a target on that poor boy's back. But, you know, you can't use your hands, you can't use your feet, you can't touch the guy above the waist when the ball's in the air, you can't touch him 5 yards down. You know, what do you mean? Jesus, this is football. They're really really taken away from the defensive backfield. Those poor guys can't do it. I mean, the average height is about 6 foot for a defensive back. And the average height for a wide receiver now is 6'6". Come on, they're playing their hands tied already. Now you've got to say they can't touch them there, can't hit them there. We were taught that thing you put on your head is a weapon. Use it as such. That's what we did.
Yeah, because
if you didn't, you got your clock cleaned.
Yeah, I can remember playing high school ball. I speared a few.
Yeah, we had in my day the new rule was no cut blocking. That was the thing. You don't hit anybody below the knees within the tackles.
Oh, yeah,
you couldn't spear them. And spearing, which is a dirty pool anyway. I mean, spearing, if the guy's already stopped his momentum, you don't spear him, although I was probably as guilty as anybody playing my position.
Yeah. But,
what happened? Okay. Get back to my little browser thing.
Okay. I was thinking of glory days. So how'd you like to hear a nice little joke that I heard?
Go right ahead. Nobody's listening.
Yeah. Well, it's a clean one.
Okay.
Kay's got me watching this show. I had heard of it before. It's a British show called The Vicar of Dibley, and British comedian Dawn French plays the vicar. And at the end of every show, she tells a little joke to her assistant, who usually doesn't get it. It usually goes right over her head, but it's usually a pretty good joke. And this one is two nuns and their mother superior get into a car accident and die. They go up to heaven and meet St. Peter at the pearly gates. And St. Peter says, we're overcrowded in here, so I have to ask each of you a question, and you got to answer it right or you can't come in. So he goes to the first nun, and he says, what was the name of the first woman? She says, Eve. He says, yep, you're in. He goes to the second nun and says, where did Eve live? She says, the Garden of Eden. He says, yep, you're in. He goes over to the Mother Superior and says, now, since you're a Mother Superior, your question is going to be a little more difficult. I do apologize for that. She says, okay, I'm ready. He says, what is the first thing that Eve said to Adam? Mother Superior scratches her head, says, boy, that is a hard one. Yep, you're in.
Oh, fig leaf at all. I got jokes, but I don't think I can say it. Well, maybe you can. I think our rating is for adults. Maybe.
I can find out.
Okay, I'll tell my Timbuktu. Two guys are arguing in a bar, and they get drunk, and they're getting louder. The bartender goes, hey man, you guys got to go. He says, you're being obnoxious, be a little loud. These guys, all right, you know. They get it. What are you guys arguing about? One guy says, oh, we're arguing about who's the better poet. He goes, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you go home, write a poem, bring it back tomorrow, and let me be the judge. Two guys say, okay, that'll do it. He goes, wait a minute. You got to use the word Timbuktu in your poem. So they agree, and bartender the next day sees the two guys walk in. First guy hands him his poem and says, Tim and I, a hunting, went, spied three maidens in it. Oh, no. It goes, I went along the desert sands to gaze upon the desert lands. A caravan came into view on its way to Timbuktu. Bartender says, that's pretty good. That's pretty hard to beat. The second guy hands him his poem. He goes, Tim and I, a hunting went, spied three maidens in a tent. They were three, we were two. I bucked one, and Tim bucked two. Stay in school, yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. I buck one, Tim buck two.
If you can remember the little rhymes, yeah.
All right, here you go. Here's another one from the end of The Vicar of Dibley. There's a lady. She's house-sitting for her friend. And the one thing that she always admired about her friend's house was this gigantic bathtub she had. And she thought, this is going to be the perfect time for me to take a nice bubble bath in that tub. And her friend said, you don't have to worry about anything. The only person that might come over today is a blind guy. She's like, okay. So as soon as she gets into the tub, of course, and gets ready to relax, the doorbell rings. So she peeks around the corner and sees somebody standing there. She says, who is it? It's the blind guy. She's like, oh, okay, well, he's blind. I'll let him in. She opens the door and says, hey, nice boobs. Where do you want me to hang these blinds?
Blind guy. Because he was blind. That's right. What's the name of the show?
The Vicar of Dibley. It's pretty damn funny.
What's a vicar?
Like a priest. Probably the Church of England.
Okay. So like they have a different name for I had it. They call it attorney in England. Yeah, slips my mind too. My mind goes blank when the show starts.
Yeah, I understand that. Mine does that too often.
Yeah,
I sit there going like,
you know, they.
Like earlier, I was trying to remember Bill Paxton's name, and I could not think of Bill Paxton's name. So now I know it.
Yeah, I remember everything at the end of the show too. You know, in Florida now they have these challenges, hunting challenges, contests for catching pythons. You want to hunt pythons
really?
In Florida this summer? They give you tips of how to go down. Who wants to freaking hunt something that can? Jesus.
Yeah, no, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out too. Now there was I haven't read this. It says there's a tale of a distressed American town on the doorstep of a national paradise. Town of Orick, O-R-I-C-K, in California, sits on the border of the National Redwood Park up here in Northern California. Yeah, I'm going to push Dave to find out what that is all about, because I know where Orick is, not too far from where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks ago, my partner and I drove across the Golden Gate Bridge and headed up Highway 101 for about 6 hours to visit the spectacular sliver of America. Nestled along roughly 40 miles of Northern California coastline, Redwood National and State Parks is a sprawling park system. It is quite remarkable. Three state parks and one national park. It is housing 133,000 acres of national wonders. It boasts stunning lagoons, rivers, and beaches, eye-popping hiking and hiking trails, a rich array of wildlife, and some of the oldest and tallest trees on the planet. Some of these trees were alive when Jesus walked the earth.
Huh.
So that's pretty old. It says they hiked the James Erie Trail, parking at Prairie Creek Redwood State Park. The trail starts, blah, blah, blah. Let me get down to the meat. Trees are thousands of years old. So what's the problem? They have bark so thick they can survive scorching wildfires. Yeah, I've been asked before, what about the fires? one thing, it's got a natural fire extinguisher in it, being the canopy of it holds in moisture. So a lot of what would become fuel in other locations is like a sponge, a wet sponge, so things don't burn well. Okay. Okay, meandering, blah, blah, blah. Looks like World Jurassic Park. Gotcha. However, the doorstep to the national treasure, a treasure so valuable that the United Nations has declared it a World Heritage Site. Okay. It's the town called Oryx. Driving through the town on Highway 101 to get to the park, you pass boarded up motels, ramshackle houses, rusted out cars and properties that look like junkyards. Parts of Oryx look like setting for a zombie movie. Why is that? I've never recovered towns ever planning to get it there. But it makes Oryx so strange. So strange that it is literally the gateway to the gorgeous World Heritage Site. It's the closest town to the parks. Redwood National Park has an administrative headquarters there. Oryx in itself is a beautiful valley, blah, blah, okay. So why are its motels all shut down? Why are there restaurants anymore in the places for tourists to shop? Why hasn't anyone invested in the infrastructure or upkeep? What has happened? Okay, in 1963, a team of scientists with the National Geographic Society exploring an area just a mile north of Oryx discovered that they declared to be the tallest tree in the world. Towering 362 feet, the tree was found along Redwood Creek within private logging land. They named the tree Howard Libby, after founder of the logging company that owned the land. The tree graced the cover of the National Geographic in 1964. So why is it a ghost town? That was when, back then it boasted 4 sawmills, good union timber jobs, okay, and almost 3,000 people in the town back in the 50s. Technologies of the... I hate these when it says next. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
I don't go down. Pass the movies. Okay.
They do that on
blogging
companies.
I'm just going to guess what it is, that being named an international heritage site in a national park and state park killed the ability to grow as a town. Probably because the environmentalists up there, you know. I don't know, the park expansion. Okay. I apologize. I thought it was going to be something interesting.
Could have just fallen by the wayside and somebody his head. I mean, there's areas in the town that I live in that have gone derelict, where there's just empty buildings because the business goes out of business and then nobody picks it up and the building just sits there and rots.
Yeah, it's Lincoln, Nebraska, the only thing there anymore, it's a damn ghost town. The only thing there is the University of Nebraska, and that's it. When I was a kid, we had driven through there many times, and it just looked like downtown anywhere USA. The last time I was up there, and some of the Google Earth go through it, it's all boarded up. There's nothing happening there except the University of Nebraska. Okay, it was the demise of the logging industry that killed Oryx. I could have told you that.
How many times do you have to hit next to see that?
Yeah. Yeah. Backwards. Yeah, well, that's, you know, Middletown, USA is history anymore. They can't survive. There's now a federal law that if you want any state or federal aid, you have to build low-income housing for every single-family dwelling. You have to build so many low-income housing units, which small-town USA can't afford it. They say we can't afford backing the proper growth, let alone set aside money to build, you know, apartment townhouses to house, you know, 16 different families for every one single family dwelling. It would bankrupt, you know, over half the city, half the towns in California. But it's a law. I don't know if that extends those to the other states, but it is in California. It's killing small town USA, and nobody does a thing about it. And we have a super majority out here in California. I hope to God it ends soon, because they're killing us. It's killing the state. Just saying. Oh, one other thing I run across, that these treasure hunters had found a site of treasures in the country, in Pennsylvania. So they called the FBI because there was historical meaning or historical value to the site. So these guys did the right thing. When the FBI shows up, they said that they recovered tons of gold and then failed to report it, and said that we didn't find anything of interest in these treasure hunters. They go, wait, we saw it. We were the ones that took you there. It's the FBI. And they don't get their 10% finder's fee that you would normally get if you found something like that.
Yeah.
FBI.
Interesting. That makes me wonder what else they found then, too.
Yeah, exactly. He does. Well, Stephen 76, I believe we've talked for an hour.
Yeah, I gotta get ready to go to sleep, because I gotta work tomorrow, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, one other thing on this treasure. There was a video made by these treasure hunters, and it disappeared and was destroyed. Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to read up and see what else they found that they said they might have found there. Because if that was just to screw these treasure hunters from their finder's fee, being that it was so much gold. And they say it was Civil War gold stashed. So who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what to believe anymore? Well, yeah. Anybody listening, thanks you for listening to our Band Cave. The last Friday of every month, Stephen 76 and I get together, talk about what's on our mind, or my mind, I guess. We'll pick your brain next time, Stephen. And we'll stay up on this sports team crisis. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Let me see. Still get in the studio. Nope, can't do that. But I'm going to have to. All right, Stephen, thank you for joining me. And we will get together 1 month from now. After our birthdays, we'll be older. We'll be flipping older.
Yeah, we
will.
Yeah.
Like I said, how does time crawl slower but fly by faster? So I'd like to know. And weren't
yeah,
we all in
too.
A big old hurry to grow up? What fools were we?
Yeah, I need to go back there and apply the brakes.
Now I got a bad freaking calendar and I can't see crap. Okay, here we go. Oh, man. Okay. Well, I'm going to sit here and try to find the button to end this episode. So you could go anytime, Steven, and get some sleep. I know what it's like to have to work.
Yeah.
As soon as I get to the, Deborah, thanks for leaving the phone on the couch for us. Appreciate that.
Much appreciated. I'm sure we're probably talking to our cat.
Yeah. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Yeah. Okay. Ah, I'm at the studio. All right, maybe I'll play a song. I have to go out. So tomorrow, Saturday, Hide Day Saturday, will be joining me AP Taylor from Australia and Deborah Lee from the East Coast and me from California. We'll be talking about gold. G-O-L-D, gold. There's something written about it. Please join us. Welcome to join us. Monday is Pick a Prompt, probably the most popular night of the week. It's Deborah Lee's show. Join us. And my next music show, which I don't have a date yet, we will be discussing the Brothers Gibb, the Bee Gees. You know, that's just career. There's a lot to do.
I do like
The only good thing to come out of the disco era, we're sorry about that. So, okay, I'm in the studio now. So I'm going to find a song to play. Don't know what it's going to be yet. I'm not used to this new filing system Deborah's got, but I could see Alice keys. Where's the keys? Wow. So I'm in the A's. Jesus Christ. Okay. Zoom in. Well, give the wind my best.
I'll do that.
Yeah. I mean, we'll do some Beatles. Strawberry Fields, you know. No, as my guitar gently weeps, that's what we're going to do.
That's a good one.
Good night.
Good night.
Gently weeps. I look at the floor and I see it needs sweeping. Still my guitar gently weeps. I don't know why, nobody told you how to unfold your love. I don't know how someone controlled you. They bought and sold you. I look at the world and I notice it's turning. While my guitar gently weeps, with every mistake we must surely be learning. Still my guitar theories. I don't know how you were diverted. You were perverted too. I don't know how you were inverted. No one elected you. I looked from the wings at the play you are staging, while my guitar gently weeps. I'm sitting here doing nothing but aging. Feel my guitar gently weep.
My guitar gently weeps, George Harrison. Great song. Well, thanks everybody for listening. I'm Jay Hatter. Was your host. See you next time. Have a good evening.